So, Christian friends, grace and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I was shocked to hear the sad news about Pastor Green being so badly injured. Just got that call on Friday night. And that call happened to come just a couple of days after I had heard about another man in the ministry, our district president, Lucas Woodford, who was also injured in an accident. He was doing some construction project at his home and was injured. And I thought, two of God's servants injured like that. And of course, what's the first question that comes to mind? Why? You know, why? Why does the Lord let something like that happen? And when something like this happens to his servants, does that show that really we can't trust God? That really it doesn't do any good to believe in him? Why should we pray? You know, those thoughts come to our minds because we're still flesh. We're still in this body. But God's word tells us very clearly the answer. It tells us that God is our loving Heavenly Father who is with us even when bad things happen in the world around us or even in our own lives. And I thought about that again as I read the gospel lesson for today. It tells about a wonderful father. Jesus tells a parable about a wealthy man who had two sons. And the younger son got greedy. And his father was quite wealthy, so he came to his father and said to him, "Dad, give me my share of your estate." If you're a parent, how would you feel? In effect, the son is saying, "I want your money now. You're taking too long to die. Give it to me now." And so this father sadly divided up his wealth, giving shares to both of his sons. And then the younger son took everything he got from the father, and he liquidated all the assets, and he got cash. And then he went off, left home, went to a far country where he could live it up. He found some bad companions, and he spent his money foolishly and sinfully. And, of course, he just ran through it really fast. And as much as his father had given him, it was soon gone. And then the so-called friends disappeared too. So what would he do now? He was getting hungry. And so he had to get a job. But this Jewish boy had to end up taking the worst kind of job that a Jewish boy could get. He had to take a job taking care of pigs. Pigs are unclean animals. Jews wouldn't touch them. They wouldn't have them around. They certainly wouldn't eat pork. Stay away from pigs. But this young man is out there having to take care of them, feed them, and he's looking at the pigs' food with jealousy. He wishes he could eat what they're eating. He thinks the pigs are better off than he is. That's sinking pretty low. Then Jesus says in the parable, the young man finally comes to his senses and he says, "I've got to go home. My father has servants that have plenty to eat, and here I am starving to death. I've spoiled my relationship with Dad, so I'm going to have to say to him, 'I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm not worthy to be your son anymore. Just let me be one of your servants.'" The son was wild and wasteful. Sometimes we call this the prodigal son. Prodigal means wasteful. He's wasted what his father gave him, and now he's thinking maybe his father will still give him enough to just survive. So he journeys home, and as his home comes into view, the father sees him way off in the distance. The father's been watching for his son. And the father then runs out to meet him. For what purpose? Is he going to slap him across the face and tell him, "You fool, you did just what I knew you were going to do. You wasted it all. Now you coming back? Get out of here." No. father didn't do that. Instead, the father goes out, throws his arms around him, and embraces him in love. And then the son begins his planned speech. Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. Father doesn't even let him finish the speech. He says to his servants, quick, bring the best robe we've got in the house. Put it on him. Bring a gold ring and put it on his finger. He needs shoes. Bring him some new sandals. And bring out that fattened calf that we've been getting ready for a banquet. We're going to have a feast with that calf today. He said, my son was dead, but he's alive again. He was lost, but now he's found. Well, in the parable that Jesus tells, the older son reacts really badly to this. He doesn't want this greedy young brother back again. He sure doesn't want to celebrate that he's back, so he won't even go into the feast. The father has to go out to him, and the father says, son, this doesn't mean that I don't love you. I've shown that I love you by giving you everything I have, but your brother is back. We've got to celebrate. He was as good as dead, but now he's alive again. He was lost, but he's found. That's a reason to celebrate. Now, there are several things we could learn from that parable. One of the lessons, of course, is not to be like that older brother, not to be hard-hearted and unloving toward people that have messed up and then come back to Christ or come to Christ, come into the church. We need to welcome such with open arms. But I think the most wonderful thing in the parable is that the Father represents God. The Father in that parable shows how God feels about all of us, because all of us are like that prodigal son too. We've gone off into sin and we continually disappoint, let down our Heavenly Father. But He doesn't stop loving us. He longs for us the way that father longed for his son. And he looks for the opportunity. The Heavenly Father looks for the time when he can put his arms around us and welcome us home again. This morning in the first service, we sang one of my favorite hymns, Children of the Heavenly Father. Do you know that hymn? I've loved that hymn since I was as small as the children that came up here today. That hymn was written by a Swedish lady back in the middle 1800s. Her name was Lena Sandell. And she wrote in that hymn, Children of the Heavenly Father safely in his bosom gather. That means God hugs us. As his children, he hugs us to himself, safe in his bosom, like the prodigal son. And she says, neither life nor death shall ever from the Lord his children sever. In other words, it doesn't matter if things don't always go the way we'd like and easy and pleasant for us, that doesn't cut us off from God. He still loves us. He still cares for us. And in the last stanza, she wrote, though he gives or he takes, God, his children, never forsakes. His loving purpose is to preserve us pure and holy. This Swedish young woman wrote these words knowing full well that things don't always go the way we would like in the Christian life, because something happened in her life. She was the daughter of a Lutheran pastor, and one time she and her father were taking a trip together, and they were in a boat or a small ship that was sailing across a lake in Sweden, and all of a sudden the ship kind of lurched. There must have been a big wave that hit it or something. And her father was thrown over the side into the water, and he drowned, her beloved father, right in front of her. I'm sure she asked why too. But she kept trusting in the Lord. And she wrote these words, though he gives or he takes, He doesn't forsake us. He loves us. And in fact, even when things are going badly, we're still embraced and hugged to the bosom of God. That's a wonderful encouragement. God is our refuge and strength. And you know, even though God sometimes let bad things happen in our lives, and that's true for every one of us Christians, there isn't one of us that can say, I never had a bad experience in life. I never got sick. I never had somebody that I loved die. I never lost a job. I never got disappointed. We've all had those things from time to time. But God is with us anyway. And in fact, God can use those experiences in our lives to accomplish something good. Let me tell you a story about a man named John Ruskin. He was an English writer. One time he met a lady and she was showing him a very expensive handkerchief, beautiful material, beautiful handkerchief that she had, but a drop of ink had fallen on it. And she was so disappointed, she said to him, well, now it's ruined. There's nothing left to do except throw it away. And he asked, could I have it? So, sure, she gave it to him. He took it away, didn't say anything. And then a few days later, he saw and met the lady again. And he handed it back to her without saying a word. And she took the handkerchief and unfolded it. She was going to see that ugly spot still there. But you know, when she unfolded it, instead of just an ugly spot, she saw a beautiful design painted onto the material. And it was painted in such a way that the spot of ink was a part of the design. And she asked him, how is this possible? And John Ruskin said, I have a friend who can make anything beautiful. You know, we have a friend like that in Jesus. He can make anything beautiful. Even the things in our lives that to us don't look beautiful at all, they just look painful and unpleasant. God somehow works all things together for good for those who love him. There's a prophecy about Jesus in Isaiah 61. It says that he will bestow on his people a crown of beauty instead of ashes. A crown of beauty instead of ashes. A beautiful design instead of a splot of ink. A good purpose in our lives, even when there's something that we don't understand and don't like and wish it weren't there. So, our God's promises are true. He showed his love for us above all when he gave his son Jesus to be our Savior. He let his beloved one take our sins on the cross and deliver us from them so that he could throw his arms around us and welcome us home. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.